Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. Let's stand together this morning that we might honor the reading of God's Word. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Lord, as we pause before this verse this morning, may we be pausing before you. May your Spirit be showing, unpacking the riches of these blessings to us. Lord, may each one here this morning have the great sense, the great understanding that you have blessed us in Christ. Lord, may anyone who is not yet in Christ see something of this and realize, Lord, what they lack and what they need today, and see that that's all found in Jesus. May the one who thinks they already know this very well be richly encouraged and benefited by what we will see this morning. And so, Father, we lay this before you. We give you the praise. We bless your name, and we look unto you. To you, Lord, be all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Teenage boy from a very impoverished family in England over a century ago. He grew up not having much. Sometimes they didn't even have much to eat. And his family realized that this boy's future, he would have a much better future if he could come to America. And so they worked and did all they could to save money. And finally, they were able to purchase a ticket for the young man on a ship that sailed from England to America. The young man got on the ship and he was there, and the first day as they began to sail, By the way, this wasn't Carnival Cruise Lines or something like you would have today. But it was all right. And when it came time for meals, the boy stood outside the small dining room and just looked in while everyone else was in there eating. And every once in a while he'd reach in his bag and take out a cracker or something that he had brought along to have something to eat on the boat. And that went on for all the meals on the first day. The second day at the meal, the young man was still kind of longingly looking in, and the captain noticed him. He wasn't quite sure what was happening here. He wondered if the boy was a stowaway or something on there. So he came out and asked, and the boy showed him his ticket, you know, and the captain said, "Well, what are you doing out here? Don't you know that your fare included all the meals at my table?" And the boy was just shocked. See, because he hadn't grown up that way. He had grown up thinking all that kind of food, all of that stuff was for somebody else. He understood who he was and his identity by his family upbringing. He believed that his identity was he was poor. He didn't have the entitlement to that kind of feast. And so he didn't understand it. He didn't understand that the price of his ticket was not only the price to get him to America, it was to enjoy all of the provisions of the trip along the way. Once he understood that his fare caused him, the moment he got on that ship, he had a new identity. He was a passenger on that ship who had all of the benefits of every other passenger on that ship. And the moment he realized that, can you imagine the kind of joy that he felt when he was ushered in by the captain to the captain's table to sit there and enjoy for the rest of the journey the provision that had been given to him? How do people understand their identity? We're talking now about our spiritual identity, our identity in Christ. How do people understand their identity, their value, their meaning, their purpose, their honor, their worth, and so on? Do you know, people without Jesus, how do people without Jesus understand themselves? Do you remember how you understood yourself before you had Jesus? How do people without Jesus understand themselves? Well, many of them, like that boy had done, understand their identity through their parents, their family, their upbringing. Say, well, I am who my parents have raised me to be. I am who my ancestors have made me to be. And so now with genetics and all of that, you can go on Ancestry.com and find out who you are, right? Wrong. Might be interesting, but it doesn't really tell you who you are. And it doesn't tell you your purpose and your meaning. All it does is give you some information. Some people would say, I am who I am because of the social influences in my life. I am who I am because of economics. I am who I am because that's what other people think I am or say I am. Pascal said, I think, therefore I am. So what? You are what you think? That doesn't work very well. By the way, neither does you are what you eat. Say, I am a banana. How do you get your identity? Very prominently today, people get their identity from their feelings. This is who I feel I am. And you know, tragically, that that extends to sexual identity these days. Well, my physical DNA might say this, but I feel like I'm a... Okay. Does what you feel make you you? Some would say, I've made myself who I am. You know, I'm a self-made individual. I am self-actualized. So, I am who I am by my own efforts, or even by religious works of some kind. I am who I am by trying harder. See, those are frustrating attempts at identity. But outside of Christ, those are pretty much the way the ways that people go about establishing their identity. People with Jesus, if you have Jesus, how do you know who you are? How do you know your worth, your value, your purpose, your meaning? How do you know? Well, you know it from the Word of God. You know it from the Word of God. And you know it from your position or your identity in Christ. You know you are not who you might feel you are. You are not who you think you are. You are not who other people say you are. You are who God says you are. I am who I am because God says that is who I am. And I have what I have because He says that is what I have. That's the whole the formulation of identity and psychologists have just completely ruined humanity in this. You know, it's frankly blasphemous the way they go about it. They've ruined it. You are who God says you are. You are who the Bible says you are. And that is very important. Now, that is what we're introducing here in Ephesians 1:3. Ephesians 1:3 begins a very long sentence in Greek. It goes from verse 3 all the way through verse 14, and it has 202 Greek words in it. All of the English teachers want to say to the Apostle Paul, "You would not pass my class." Writing a sentence that long. You know, they'd mark you down for writing a run-on sentence. But this is an English class. This is in Greek, and there are 202 words. Now, if you read verses 3 through 14 in your English translation, you will find periods and sentence divisions there. But that is only the translator's attempt to make this helpful and understandable for you. Actually, in Greek, it is one sentence. And if you think diagramming sentences is a difficult task, try this one. So today we're only doing verse 3. We're not doing the whole sentence. But verse 3 introduces us to these blessings that are ours in Christ. I am who God says I am. I have what God says I have. And there are six aspects, or we could say maybe six angles of looking at these blessings through the lens of verse 3, which is what we're going to do this morning. To help us begin to see God's master plan for His church in eternity past. This is for, and you'll see the word us in verse 3. This is for us, and the us all the way throughout chapter 1. We learn by the time we get to the end of the chapter, is the church, the body of Christ. So, six aspects or six angles at looking at these blessings in verse 3. First aspect, the blessed one. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul is giving his blessing to God. God is blessed in all of this. We bless Him, and those who have been with us in our journey on Sunday nights through the Psalms know that we've seen many times when the psalmist says, "Bless the Lord." Psalm 103, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." You bless Him. The blessing is to the Lord because He is the one who is responsible for every dimension of your salvation throughout this chapter. It's not first and foremost about our blessing, although that's going to be in here, isn't it? But it's first and foremost about blessing God, because He is the source and the accomplisher of your salvation, of all of it. It's entirely of Him. In the words of Psalm 115, verse 1, "Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to Your name be the glory." Not to us, but to Your name be the glory. Why? Because of Your loving kindness, Your grace, Your faithful, loyal love, Your loving kindness, and because of Your truth. Bless the Lord. So that's one angle, is looking at this as Paul and we ourselves blessing the Lord. The second aspect is the blesser. Who has blessed? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Who has blessed? Who is the blesser in this? It is God. God has blessed. He is the source of this. Like you would read in James chapter 1 verse 17, every good and perfect gift is from where? Above. Coming down from God, the Father of lights, in whom there's no variableness nor shadow of turning. God is the one who is always at high noon in the believer's life, granting every good and perfect gift from above. He has blessed. Then, the third aspect, the blessed ones. The blessed ones. Well, who are the blessed ones? And that's where you see in verse 3 the word us. Who has blessed us? Now, when we read us, who are we reading about? We're reading about the church. We're reading about all believers in Christ. And if you are not in Christ, you are not part of the us. But if you are in Christ, you are the us. Okay, that's very crucial that you get this. Believers are the blessed ones. Like you read in Galatians chapter 3 verse 9, those who are of faith are blessed with Abraham, the believer. Who are the blessed? Believers, those who are of faith. That's the us. Okay. Is that you this morning? Are you us? And if it's not, we want you to know God has you here this morning so that you can hear this and have a desire within you to be part of the us. To be that. But if you are a believer, you are one of the blessed ones. Who has blessed us? The fourth aspect, our fourth angle at looking at these blessings, the blessings themselves. You see what it says in verse 3. With every spiritual blessing. Okay. With how many spiritual blessings? Every. Every spiritual blessing. Now, we're only beginning this in verse 3. And in Ephesians, if you want to know, and this is just a starter list even in Ephesians, but if you want to know these spiritual blessings, keep reading from verse 3 all the way to chapter 2, verse 10. And in that section, ask yourself, who does God say that I am? And what does God say that I have? Let's just whet our appetites a little bit for this morning. Verse 4, you are chosen to be set apart before Him. Verse 5, you are predestined to adoption. Verse 7, you have redemption. Also in verse 7, you have forgiveness of trespasses. In verse 8, you have grace lavished on you. In verse 11, you have your inheritance in Christ. Also in verse 11, you have purpose. God works all things according to His will. Purpose. In verse 13, you are sealed by the Holy Spirit. In verse 14, you are God's possession. In verse 18, you have hope. Also in verse 18, you have riches. In verse 19, you have power. In chapter 2, verse 4, you're loved. In chapter 2, verse 5, you're made alive in Christ. In chapter 2, verse 6, you're raised and seated with Christ at the Father's right hand. And in chapter 2, verse 10, you are His workmanship. Now, that's a starter list of who you are and what you have in Christ. And where does it begin? It begins with He has blessed you. He has blessed you with every spiritual blessing. Notice it says, He has blessed you. It doesn't say He is blessing you. Though that's true too. But this verse says, He has blessed you. It's a perfect tense verb. He has blessed you with every spiritual blessing. It's already yours. In Christ, this is yours. This is who you are. This is what you have. This is what God has already done. He has blessed you. Remember 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. That tells us that He has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness. It's already yours. It's already granted to you. Now, the location, this is aspect number 5, The location of the blessings is in the heavenlies. Now, our English versions generally read in heavenly places. But actually the word places is not there in the Greek. It just says in the heavenlies. So you could say in the heavenly realm and in heavenly places is not bad. It's a good way to understand that. These blessings are in the heavenlies. Philippians 3:20, our citizenship is in heaven. That's where you have your identity. That's where you have your inheritance. That's where you have all of your rights and privileges as a believer in heaven. Therefore, Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, if you've been raised with Christ, keep seeking the things above. The things above. Why? That's where your riches are. That's where your wealth is. That's where your identity is. It's above. Keep seeking that. Keep looking to understand that. And you have been blessed with all that is there in heavenly places in Christ. Okay. How many spiritual blessings do you think are there in heaven? Twenty-five? 5,000? 10,000? It's infinite, isn't it? The spiritual blessings that are yours in heavenly places. Those blessings that are yours in heaven are there for you to enjoy here and now. Just like the boys' ticket not only included arriving in America, it also included all of the benefits and provision for the whole journey, didn't it? So your salvation not only includes being in heaven when you die, and that's great enough, isn't it? But it not only includes that, it includes the experience of all of these heavenly blessings in your life now. Don't sit outside of the dining room looking in saying, oh, I wish I had that. You know, and so, you know, you can hear it all a lot, maybe even in yourself. Oh, Lord, if I just had more love. Lord, give me more love. And the Lord says, excuse me, love is the fruit of the Spirit. and I've already given it to you. Oh Lord, give me more patience. Excuse me? Patience is the fruit of the Spirit, and I've already given it to you. Oh Lord, give me more faith. Faith is a fruit of the Spirit, and He's already given it to you. Oh, bless me, Lord, bless me, bless me. Well, excuse me? I've already done that. I've already blessed you with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. It's yours. Why do you keep asking for it when I've already given it to you? Why don't you just enjoy what I've given to you? Why don't you just utilize, you know? What if the boy had said, well, Captain, thank you very much for telling me that I'm welcome there at the table and it's all included in my fare, but I think I'll just stay outside here and eat my crackers. You would say to the boy, you are living way beneath your privileges. Right? So, you have every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. But instead of utilizing those and feasting on those, you want to just keep trying and keep working and keep trying to figure yourself out and get your identity some other way. And you keep trying to do all of that. When the Lord has already given you the feast and you're just standing there munching on your crackers. Living way beneath your spiritual privileges. Sixth aspect, the agent of the blessings. In Christ. In Christ. He's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. It's all in Him. All of these blessings are Jesus. All of these blessings are actually His. And what He does in your salvation is make you a co-inheritor, a joint heir with Jesus of all of Jesus' blessings. All of Jesus' inheritance, all of Jesus' riches, when you are in Christ, all of those become yours as well. Jesus is the agent of this blessing by His life, His totally perfect law-keeping life, by which He fulfilled the law, by His death, His substitutionary death for our sins, by His resurrection, and by His ascension. Jesus is in the place. He is in heavenly places. He is in the place where He operates as the agent of your blessing, sharing His inheritance with you. Blessings in Christ. Is all of this something that begins to make us say, "Bless the Lord, O my soul"? It's all in Him, and all that is in Him is ours. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless Him. Do you know that you have been blessed? Do you know it? Does that mold and shape your sense of who you are and all that you have in Him? He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Know you are blessed. And if you would say, "Well, you know what? These blessings are in Christ, and I'm not in Christ. I'm not one of the us." Well, then do you know what? If you're not in Christ and you're not one of the us, you don't have any of these blessings either. We'll get to it in Ephesians chapter 2. You have something else. You have the penalty of sin and death upon you. You don't have these blessings. But you know what? If the Lord is drawing you through this today, believe upon Jesus for your salvation, and you know what? You'll be one of us. You will have all these blessings. You'll be one of the blessed ones. Believe upon Him today. But those who are in Christ, know that you are blessed, and we have all kinds of reasons here to know that we are. So give Him the blessing. Lord, now as we worship in this, may there be a full and rich awareness in every one who believes of who they are in Christ and all of your blessings. And Lord, may they worship you in this. And Lord, may even that one this morning who has never trusted in Jesus, His death, His resurrection, for their salvation, for their sin, the payment for their sins, that they could know that they have heaven as their destiny, and that they could know that they have all of these blessings along the way. Lord, may that person today believe and trust in you for the great gift of eternal life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.